Hey guys, thanks for checking out the Access Point podcast. Whether you stumbled upon us for the first time or you're a longtime listener, we thank you for coming and listening, and we hope you enjoy. We are starting a new series, Equipping the Work of Ministry, and I thought it was a good, really it's a part two of where we were last week, where we were in finishing up the previous four-week series on identity. And we, of course, I know this is a recap, you heard me say it for 4 weeks, but what's another week, right? But we focus on the reality that as believers, you and I should only find our purpose and our identity when we find who we are in Christ. That's the only way that we're going to be able to answer the questions of, you know, why am I still here? What am I supposed to do while I'm here? You know, what is my role in this world? You know, all these questions that so many people ask, and yes, one of those stereotypical college kids question of, you know, who am I? I'm finding myself. You know, I took a semester off abroad to find myself. I don't ever think that really helps you find yourself, but whatever works for everybody else, right? But there's so many identity crises out there, and it's a lot of times because we aren't finding our identity in the very one who created us. The one who made us who we are, made us for what we're called to do. And if we're trying to find it in anything else, we're going to come up short every time. And what we saw through that series in truly finding an identity in Christ, we see that we are first in Him, in Christ, means we are chosen. We are considered holy and blameless before Him, despite the sins, despite our struggles, despite the temptations that still battle us each and every day. We are covered in His righteousness, considered blameless before Him. We are then also considered adopted children, made heirs to an inheritance that we didn't earn. We are blessed. We are redeemed. We are just in a powerful way, given a new life, given a new direction, given a new understanding because of who we are in Christ. And then as the seal of that, we're giving the gift of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives each and every day. And last week we saw we are God's workmanship. All of this showing that our Creator had a plan, had a purpose, and it's all made possible because we are in Christ as believers. And so, again, as I said, this is really a part two of where we were in our identity series. Equipping the work of ministry is what we do about that realization. Understanding who we are adds a sense of purpose in our life. And then by realizing that we were created by God as His masterwork, as His workmanship, we were created for good works that He prepared in advance for us, then you can begin to see why we can find a sense of motivation and encouragement to serve Him by serving others and living a life worthy of that calling that He has given you and I as believers. And so, again, it's adding to where we were. It's not a full-fledged, brand new series. It's a different name, but a very similar premise, or taking the idea off of identity and seeing now that since I'm in Christ, since I have made an adopted son or daughter of Christ, I am called His workmanship. What do I do about that? How do I live a life worthy of that calling? In fact, we're going to be still in the book of Ephesians where we were last week, jumping to chapter 4, where Paul is making that change from looking at everything God has done to now what should we do about that calling. Since we are His workmanship, what do we do? Well, what we do is we use the very gifts that God has given us with, that He's blessed us with. And if we truly think about it, the beautiful reality about the God we serve is that not only does He prepare these good works in advance for us to do, calling us for good works, for His glory, for the good of ourselves, for the good of those around us, we realize that He's prepared and then He's equipped. He gives us the tools, the talents necessary to live out the very calling, the very purpose that He's laid in our lives for us. And so what I want you to realize today, if there's nothing else you take away, you know, your one takeaway is that God doesn't just call. He prepares and equips for that very vision, for that very calling, for the work of ministry in the life of every believer. It's not just for a select few. It's not just for your pastor. It's not just for the various ministers in the church, the elders, the deacons. It's each and every one of us play a part, have a role in the body of Christ. And many times you see Paul looking at the analogy of the human body, each playing its part, but each just as crucial as the next. Maybe looked at differently, but without that one part, the body, the system, everything crumbles around it. And with that being said, I know a lot of times people are, well, you know, I had this idea, or maybe God's calling me for this direction. And you've heard me say it a dozen times, and you may be to quote me on this, but I've always told you, if God gives you the vision, He's equipped you for that vision, right? It is from God. And if it's truly from God, He won't leave us hanging. He is giving us the calling, giving us the vision, giving us a direction. Then He prepares and equips us to follow through on that plan. Believe me, you've heard me also tell you that when it came to pastoral ministry, I fought, argued, debated with God for a year and a half that's not me. You know, I'm not equipped to be a pastor. And there's still days I'm like, I'm not cut out for this, God. But if that vision's from God, God showed me that I will make that so. I will give you what is necessary to carry out the vision that I've given you. If it's from God, then He's not going to leave us hanging. That is the beautiful thing about God. He is equipping us for the very things He is calling us to do. We are quick for excuses, but the truth is, God has given us what we need to accomplish the very things He's calling us to. But what we find, and what I've seen, what you've seen, a lot of us are quick with a great idea, but we present it so that somebody else can accomplish it. And I'm not just talking about emails or conversations I get that the church should do this. I'm like, they should. How about you do that? I get those. And the truth is, I want to help facilitate that. But if God has given you that vision, then maybe God is equipping you to follow through. And if there's no follow through, then I start to question, is it truly from God in the first place? Because if it's from God, it's something that won't let you go. It's something that continues to nag. You either get really good at ignoring God's Spirit, or it wasn't God's Spirit to begin with. But again, we're good at, this is what you should do, or this is what the church should do, this is what you should have the deacons do. And I say, well, how about you get the ball started? We're going to support it, whatever means necessary, if it's truly from God. But again, we're quick to pass it off instead of doing our part in whatever stage that may be. And yes, even pastors are guilty of that and saying, well, I do this, I don't do that. Believe me, we all fall guilty within this area. But going back to where we were last week and reminding you of what he says in Ephesians 2:10, it says we are his workmanship. And Michelle, I might need you. We'll see. Ephesians 2:10 says we are his workmanship, his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in him. So what that reminds me and tells me, each of us as believers are chosen, called, adopted, blessed, set aside for good works, and are his workmanship. Each and every one of us. Doesn't say those few out of this group. Okay, I have those chosen, the believers. Those are set aside and called. But then out of that, I have my one percenters who do all the work. No, that's not how it was designed by God. Each of us having our part to play. Each of us being his workmanship. It didn't say, and a few elite are my workmanship. The rest are just, you know, afterthoughts. The rest of you are just what's left over from the elite that I made. No, that's not at all what he's saying. We're all in this playing field together, working side by side, bringing what God has given us. Each of us, meaning that we all have a part to play, a role in his will. And it's being in Christ means that I have a purpose. You have a purpose as a part of his plan. But again, the sad truth is that many Christians, you know, miss out on the blessings of living in the will of God. You know, they don't serve. And there's many things that we miss out when we do not serve. And I hear the excuses. You've heard the excuses. I've used the excuses. You know, preach to myself, whatever it takes. You know, we say, I'm not qualified. Again, I tried that for a year and a half with God and it didn't work. He says, I don't think I can do that. I've tried that one before. You know, someone else can do it better, God. That may be true, but you're the one for this job. Well, God, I might mess up. Well, you probably will. You've messed up plenty of times before, but this is still something I've called you for. And then we say, I'm just not a people person. You know, I'm peopled out, whatever. You know, you guys have heard me say that. I get peopled out. And, you know, we use a whole myriad of excuses for not serving, not volunteering when opportunities present themselves. And we do miss out on blessings that God can grant, not necessarily in these wonderful, you know, idealistic dreams, but simple blessings of finding joy in the midst of serving others, finding blessings through a myriad of things that we can bring to the body of Christ and bring to the world around us. So that's why I wanted to follow our identity series with the series Equipping the Work of Ministry, to help us all understand that since we are found in Christ and we find our purpose and identity in Christ, an identity that shows that we are all, once again, His workmanship. We are set apart for good works, the good works He has prepared in advance for us. Therefore, we are all called to serve Him by serving others. And as I've said, He equips with gifts, with talents, with abilities, so that we can accomplish the very things He is calling us to do. God equips those He calls with spiritual gifts. And you'll hear that same idea worded differently throughout this morning's sermon, because that's the very thing we often miss or excuse away. We have these grand ideas or think we're going through the right door God is calling us for, but then we halt or we just completely go a different direction because we say, I'm not equipped for this. But what God is offering through His calling is the equipment necessary, the talents, the gifts, the abilities necessary to do the very things He's called us to do. And so this four-week series hopefully will remind us all that our gifts exist to build up the body of Christ. And we are blessed in order to bless others. And so I hope this series will serve as a reminder that you and I as believers are created for the good works of God's glory, for God's glory, and are given spiritual gifts to help accomplish these very good works that He is again set aside in advance for us to do. If God has set these aside for us to do and we're missing out on the very things that make us who we were created to be. And that is why we're having these identity crises, because we're not living in the potential that God has called us, living in the will that God has set aside, living for the good works that God has prepared in advance for us. We're missing out on the very things God has created us for. And in that giving, in that blessing, in that serving, in that calling, are gifts given by God through His Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit knows what's best for us. If He's created in advance good works ahead of time, before the foundation of this world, He knows what works for us personally and individually. And because of that, He knows how that interacts and affects the entire body corporately. And, you know, just a few simple reminders about spiritual gifts. And of course, we'll be going through different aspects of that throughout this series. But some of the things that we often forget or push aside is reminders in Scripture. What it says is that each believer is given at least one gift. We see that in 1 Corinthians 12. We see that the Holy Spirit determines who receives which gifts, but yet we like to question them. Why not me? Why can't I sing, God? I've used that excuse before too, all right? It's preached to myself. He tells us in Scripture each gift is equally valuable, but yet we want to add a hierarchy, don't we? We are to use our gifts to serve others for the benefit of the body. We see that in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4. We are commanded to use our gifts, 1 Peter 4:10. And exercising our gifts will help us develop spiritual maturity. That's Ephesians 4:13. And so being in Christ means we are called for so much more than ourselves, so much more than our agenda. And so that's why Paul, in chapter 4, we're about to read, he is telling the Ephesian church, now this is how we are to live. This is what God has done. Now this is how we are to carry ourselves. So let's jump into Ephesians 4, 1 through 13. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all. I think we got cut off. Verse 7, now grace, don't leave me. Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of the Messiah's gift. Sorry, verse 7 got cut off there. Now we can go ahead. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took prisoners into captivity. He gave gifts to people. But what does he ascended mean except that he descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the training of the saints. Again, we got cut off. For the training of the saints in the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with the stature measured by God's fullness. Again, I've already told you about this chapter, chapter 4. We see that Paul has spent the previous three chapters spelling out in great detail all that God has done for us, all that God did for us freely by his grace, even the gift of faith, which is outside of our works. It is a gift by God. So now he's bringing a call to live rightly according to that calling. Since God has done all of this, this is how we ought to live. This is our response to that gift, to that grace, to the blessings of God. But he does so only after explaining what God has already done for each and every one of us. Because when we truly, really understand how much God did for us, we will naturally want to serve and to obey him out of a sense of gratitude, not as some, you know, servant-master relationship, but out of the sense that he's done so much for me. How can I not live a life of gratitude towards him? The gift of grace, the gift of faith, the blessings of spiritual gift. How can I not live a life of gratitude towards him? My life now changed in a direction focused away from me and now to him and him alone. And so the idea is clear. You and I, we don't walk worthy so that God will love us, but because he does love us. It is motivated out of gratitude, not out of a desire to earn merit. That is the beauty of God's grace. And that's why Paul calls believers in Ephesus to walk a worthy manner of the calling in which you have been called. He encourages them each to see their gifts as the wisdom, as the outflow of God's knowledge of what is needed in the body of Christ. Their gifts were meant to unite believers, not to create division as much as the church has become divided over the years. And even David Pryor, he speaks on this when he says, to be truly spiritual, he puts in quotation marks, to be truly spiritual drives one into the life of the local church as an expression of his or her personal commitment to Jesus as Lord and to his body here on earth. In other words, if we are truly living a life worthy of that calling, living a life focused on God, then we react by pouring into our lives through the local church, into our local communities, through the lives that we come in contact with. It is a way that we give back. It is a sense of worship to God, a life of gratitude to God by serving others, by using the gifts, the very blessings that he has given us. And so a worthy walk before God, as Paul is laying out, will be marked by lowliness, by gentleness, not a pushy desire to defend our own rights and advance our own agenda. Again, I'm not working yet, sorry. We jumped too far ahead. Now it's working, Michelle. Yeah, we're going to fight back and forth. So this understanding is if we're walking a life worthy of the calling that God has given us, it's a humble life. It's an understanding that I have to forgive those who have done wrong against me. I have to learn what it truly means to let go of the anger, the grudges. I have to let go of the pride that so naturally wants to fill my life. And I want to now allow the gift of God's blessing, God's grace and faith, and the gift of, you know, these spiritual gifts that he's given me to add to the unity of this body, the unity that is given by the Spirit. And what he's saying is we have to endeavor to keep this unity. It's not something you and I create in the church. We have to create unity. No, you and I cannot do that. The Spirit has done it. It's our job to continue to endeavor to keep the unity that Christ has already created through His Spirit in our lives. He has created it once again by His Spirit at work in each and every one of us. So it's our duty to recognize it and keep it. And we do so by pushing aside, you know, our own thoughts, our own desires, our own drives, and focusing on what God wills, what God wants for each and every one of us and for the church body at large. So we have this unity because of what we share in common. We share in Jesus one body, one Spirit, as Paul lays out, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one Father. Each of these common areas is greater than any potential difference. As you hear me say, you know, I don't like to put myself under any theological, you know, title. You know, one-on-one, if I'm discussing with somebody, I'll say I'm more aligned with these thoughts, but I don't try to keep myself to some title. I just say, let's read God's word. Let's take God's word for what it is, God's holy word, and let's go from there. Let's not create so much division over what they call gray areas. Let's not have so much infighting over the things that we may not share a lot in common, but we do share one thing in common, or many, you know, these few things in common: one body, one Spirit, one hope of our calling. And by focusing on this, we can get back to the unity that His Spirit has created in our lives, in our local church, and in the church body as a whole. It is this common calling that God unites us. And since God has called us, we share in common the experience of His grace. And so Paul is emphasizing with that the use of the gifts that God has given us. He's emphasizing that there is one. There is one body, one Lord, one focus. And as believers, we are one body. And that one body functions together, should function together by the unity that Christ has given us through His Spirit. But that oneness, or that unity, doesn't mean sameness. There is diversity in the body, and it should be diverse roles, diverse abilities, and it enriches and blesses the church. So the intention of the Holy Spirit in dispersing these gifts is explained in Ephesians 4:11 through 16, where we are reminded that we have all received a gift which is the glory of God, for the glory of God, not for ourselves. It's not about building our name, our reputation, although many within Christian culture have begun to focus more on that instead of glorifying God. But the true unity of the church is understanding that our diversity, our different abilities, our different gifts adds to, enriches, and it blesses the church as a whole, because our gifts are designed by a God who knows what plans He has for each of us. And this is what is given, dispersed through the Spirit as God sees fit. But again, we're quick at arguing with God on how He's dispersed. It's not fair. Mine's not the same as them. And God would say, no, it's not, but it's still just as strong, still just as useful. But yet in our human futility of thinking, we like to diminish our own gifts and lift up the gifts of others, allow jealousy to sneak in, and then not even use the very gifts that we have been given. But we have to understand that the diversity and the dispersion of gifts adds to the unity, adds to the health of the local church. Again, we are all given the same grace. It is a grace given to us according to the measure of Jesus' gift. The gift of grace in this context, in the original language, is not talking about the saving grace. It's talking about the grace of ministry, the grace to go out and work for the body, to work for Christ. It is given to every believer to do ministry. This is the basis for God's distribution of spiritual gifts through His church. It is grace, the free, unmerited giving of God as, again, He sees fit. And so we have to understand that I obviously didn't deserve to be given the gift as a pastor, as a leader. I even told God that was the case. But He gives out as he sees fit. And it doesn't make my role more important. It doesn't mean I am elevated on a pedestal. There are more responsibilities that come with it, but it doesn't mean your spiritual gift is of less importance to the body as a whole. We have to remember no one deserves or has earned spiritual gifts. It is with that free gift that Paul is showing us how the church, with all its diversity, is supposed to function in a healthy and unified way. But often our struggle with the gifts that God gives us is our lack of trust in His control, His sovereign plan. We say, yes, God knows all. God is omnipotent. He knows what's best, but yet we tell Him what is best for our lives, the gifts that I should have had. If only I had that gift, God, I could do so much more. Well, maybe if God knew I had the gift or had given me the gift of singing, He knew I would have used that for my own pride, for my own secular growth instead of for His glory, whatever that may have been. I don't know. But it wasn't given to me. And that's why I'm not allowed on stage with the band, okay? And that is okay. We have to understand that God is in control. We say, yes, God, You're sovereign, but then we question the very things He gives us. We say, God, You've prepared good works in advance for me, but I could have done a whole lot more good works if You had blessed me in this manner. We question everything instead of using the very gifts that He's given us in the time that we have. We have to remember God is in control and that our gifts are a result of His blessing, not a sense of merit that we have earned. And if we are to see the value of our gifts as a body, then we must be willing to accept that the Holy Spirit has acted with infinite wisdom to set people apart in different fellowships, in different ways, in different gifts to aid the unity, growth, and stability of the body of Christ. And in doing so, we have to learn to trust the judgment of the Holy Spirit in His plan for our lives. It's for you and I is critical to remember that our gifts are the result of God's providence and purpose. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So what he's saying, reminding again, still Paul in this letter to the church in Corinth, is the same idea he's telling Ephesus. We are all given gifts, all unique, all diverse, all meant to build the body of Christ in diverse and meaningful ways, however that may be. And with each and every gift, we have to understand comes responsibilities and expectations by God's sovereign plan and discernment. He understands what's best, but yet we still question every move He makes. But Christ gave us gifts so that we would use them. Each gift is different for different believers. Each has the same value to God, but they all share different roles. Think about your favorite sports team. Each one has a specialized player for each role. And the church is the same way. We need people playing different positions to be a unified and effective team. Just like my favorite baseball team, I don't want my biggest hitter to be throwing pitches and possibly messing up his shoulder. And I don't want my pitcher who can throw 100 miles an hour to be at the top of the lineup. That's just not how it works. There are specialized gifts, specialized roles in each team. And that's how the church should realize that my gift, my specialty, if you want to even call it that, what God has set me aside for, my role may be different. But that doesn't make it better. That doesn't make me better because I didn't earn where I'm at. God's free grace and gift has given me this gift. And now I'm just living a life trying to pursue that will, trying to focus on what He set aside for me. But what does separate or make it a little bit different, church leaders, one of our roles is to prepare, to train, and equip God's people for ministry. That doesn't make, again, me better. But it is a part of that responsibility. The expectation in my role is to see the gifts that you have. When people say, I don't know where I can be used, part of that role is trying to find a place, trying to find where you can serve. And instead of you looking at, well, all I do is babysit kids on Sunday morning, I say, well, that is awesome because I have a kid back there and I need somebody to love and care for my youngest son. and you say, well, I just teach a little lesson for the older kids. Well, my oldest son loves it when he sees a teacher pouring out their lives so that he can learn God's word. Each role is important. Oh, all I do is clean the church. Well, thank you for cleaning the church. It is a powerful way to show the church body that you love them, that you care for the way the church looks. You say, well, all I do is hand out quarters at the wash house. Well, thank you for that, because that is a wonderful way to show our community that we care for them and that we want to show love in small, unique ways. And I can keep going with various roles. You say, are people in back? Well, I hide behind the computer. Well, thank you for that, because when my switch doesn't work, I've got somebody working ProPresenter, and I've got somebody that's not going to mute me when I start talking silly, or maybe they will. I don't know. But each role, each position is a powerful role, is meaningful for the body of Christ. It may not be praised as much. Unfortunately, pastors are praised more than they should and put on pedestals. And I often, you know, I try to refrain, just call me AJ. You know, I'm just AJ. You know, don't add any titles to me. You know, when it comes to formal paperwork, I might throw it in there. But I'm just AJ. You know, God has set me here, and I don't know why, but I'm thankful for the roles that I have. But I also want you to see that we're not to put people on pedestals. We're supposed to lift up God for his glory and glory alone. And so each of us has a role to play. We all have a work of ministry because we all have spiritual gifts given by Christ. And so if that is what we all are, where we all stand, then I have to ask, what are you doing with what God has given you? The church will be enriched in worship and in mission when every one of us is serving, when members give, work, visit, make meals for those in need, minister to one another in groups. The body is then edified. It's blessed and built up. Each member of the body, each member here of Access Point, whether you're a partner, first-time guest, or whether you've been around a little while, no matter what category you fit in along that way, you all have something to offer as believers in Christ. We are all in need of one another. So we should not, in a sense, have this understanding that we are to be, you know, just immature consumers, just sitting idly by. But we should, in faith, grow to become eager servants of the body, eager servants of Christ, knowing that if God has given me so much, then as Paul says in verse 1, let me live a life worthy of that calling. And by living a life worthy of that calling is by using the very gifts, the very blessings that God has given me. It's for the unity of the church. It's for the blessings in your own life. And it's for you to be a blessing in somebody else's life. And we can no longer say, I don't know where I fit in, or I don't know how to do it. Because if God is calling you towards something, he's equipping you to accomplish that very thing he set aside for you. Let's pray. Hey guys, it's AJ Layton, lead pastor at Access Point Church. We're so glad you guys have found us, stumbled upon us, or been long listeners. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our page, share with your friends. We look forward to seeing you next week.